What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Friar Faithful Chronicle podcast. It's been a while since I've done one of these podcasts, so a lot of things have changed since I last recorded, since we last uploaded a show probably about 2 or 3 months ago. So I'm going to give you a couple house cleaning stuff here. First of all, I no longer write for East Village Times. I have created my own website called FriarFaithfulChronicle.com. Again, that is FriarFaithfulChronicle.com. A couple of my buddies and I created the site, and we put out daily Padres content. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, make sure you check us out. Again, it's FriarFaithfulChronicle.com. You can find us on Twitter at TheFFChronicle. And yeah, man, hopefully you guys like the content that we're putting out there. We have a bunch of Padres related stuff, scouting reports on every single prospect that's in the system that we're currently working on, some minor league affiliate stuff. But I also currently write for Prospects Live. I don't know if any of you guys have heard of Prospects Live. It's a fairly big up-and-coming prospects website, obviously. We cover a lot of fantasy stuff, but we also do top 30 lists. And on today's show, I'm going to give you guys kind of a rundown of my Padres top 30 prospect list over on Prospects Live that came out about a month ago. Again, you can find this list at Prospects Live. But we're basically just going to talk about the list, kind of go through who's on it. We're not going to go through the entire list. I'm just going to kind of briefly maybe talk about individually top 5, top 10 guys, and then we'll go from there. But please make sure you check this list out and you follow Prospects Live on Twitter at Prospects Live for a bunch of great quality minor league content. But without further ado, let's jump into this. So number one on my list, it was a pretty easy, unanimous consensus number one player. That's going to be Mackenzie Gore. Obviously, if you're a Padres fan, you probably know who Mackenzie Gore is. Big left-handed pitcher, 6'3", 195 pounds, 20 years old. Started last season in the California League with the Lake Elsinore Storm and made his way up to finish the year out in Amarillo. A guy who I tossed a 70 ceiling grade on with a realistic of 60. So again, on the 20-80 scale, 20 being a replacement level, just terrible player, 80 being one of the best players in baseball at their position. I have a ceiling on Mackenzie Gore. I think that he has top of the rotation upside. I think he is the true ace that this team has lacked since Jake Peavy. And I think that at his prime, you're looking at definitely top 5, top 10 pitcher in baseball who could compete every single year for Cy Young Awards, probably get some MVP votes, and be a true anchor for a top of for a championship caliber rotation. The fastball is 92 to 95. Last season we saw it get up to 97 at times. He throws both a slider and a curveball, with the curveball being a true plus-plus offering, but the slider also being a very solid pitch. And he throws a changeup with natural downward actions that, again, is already a swing-and-miss offering. So at age 20, you have a guy who has a mid-90s fastball, probably a 60-grade fastball with some natural movement to it, and three above-average offerings, including a plus-plus curveball that is absolutely disgusting. So, again, even if he doesn't reach his ceiling, Gore is probably a number two at worst, but his true upside is that of one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. There's not much to talk about Mackenzie Gore. Let's move on to number two, who a lot of people might be surprised that I have him put up this high, but Luis Patino, 20-year-old, 6 feet tall, about 192 pounds out of Colombia. My little blurb, I wrote explosive starting pitcher with the type of arm speed you dream of. Patino is right up there with Gore as one of the top pitching prospects in all of baseball. I have a 65 grade ceiling on him with a realistic of 55. I think it's possible that you could say his stuff is more explosive than Mackenzie Gore. His fastball is about 93 to 95 miles per hour, but we've seen it get up there to 98 to 99 miles per hour with just blistering late life jumps on hitters. It's really hard to hit, and the ball just explodes out of his hand. Contrary to Gore, his best secondary offering is actually a power slider that's in the upper 80s, but I mean, it's a legit swing and miss offering. He's going to get a ton of strikeouts when he throws that with his fastball. So we've seen him develop a curveball, which actually has looked pretty solid. And if you read any of the reports about Patino and Gore, they've actually kind of shared their own tips. For Patino, he shares his tips on his slider with Gore, whereas Gore has helped Patino develop his curveball. So I think that has, again, the potential to be an above average offering. And his changeup as well, I think, has come a long way since we saw him back when he made his professional debut at the age of 17. So you're looking at a guy with upper 90s fastball, a devastating slider, and two other off-speed pitches that he's going to throw for strikes that are at least above average offerings. The reason that I have him below Gore, on top of the fact that I just think Gore is going to be a better pitcher, is the fact that Patino is a lot more volatile. You see that 6 foot, 190-pound frame. Not the most durable build for a guy that throws as hard as he does, but if he can stay healthy, and we've already seen him put on some more muscle in the since his from going from the Midwest League to being last year in High A, we saw him add at least 15 pounds of solid muscle. So if he continues to develop and mature, again, he's still only 20 years old. There's still some more maturing to do in his build. This is a guy that could definitely be a number one in the big league. So the number one and number two prospect on this list are two guys that can anchor the Padres' rotation for the next decade and hopefully lead this team to championship contention. Number three on this list is Taylor Trammell. A lot of people have asked me why I put Patino over Trammell. I just believe in Patino truly being one of the best pitchers in baseball one day. Whereas for Trammell, yes, I think he could be an everyday all-star, but I think the upside with Patino is a lot higher, and I think he's also actually more of a safer prospect than Taylor Trammell. Some people will be more inclined to put an everyday position player. If you're choosing between two guys, some scouts and some prospect guys will go with the position player just because they play every single day. But I think Patino is a special prospect that could truly legitimately be one of the best pitchers in baseball one day. So I'm going to slot him in above Taylor Trammell for now. But nonetheless, at number three, Trammell is 6'2", 215 pounds, 22 years old. Obviously, we acquired him in that three-team deal that saw the Padres trade Logan Allen and Franmil Reyes to the Indians. Obviously, the Reds got Trevor Bauer and the Padres received Trammell. My impact statement on him is an elite athlete with an above-average recognition of the strike zone. This is a guy who was a consensus top 15 prospect in all of baseball just 2 years ago. Back-to-back future games appearances. He was a futures game MVP. Struggled pretty mightily to start the season up this year, and you know, even when he came over to the Padres, he did struggle in his in when he first came over to the Sod Poodles, but. A guy who got really hot towards the end of the year. We saw some of the power start to develop. You know, he had that massive grand slam in the playoffs in the Texas League Championship with the Sod Poodles. But just the tools on Taylor Trammell are absolutely, like, you just can't ignore him. He's purely one of the best athletes in all of minor league baseball with an incredible recognition of the strike zone and a strong hit tool. This is a guy who doesn't really swing and miss that much or chase at pitches out of the zone, I should say. His walk rate was 13% last year, which was actually higher than his swinging strike rate. So it's obviously something that you definitely want to see. I do think it's sometimes he gets kind of passive just because he's a guy that is playing to go middle away, and he just has such a good recognition of the strike zone that sometimes balls that he should mash, he kind of doesn't swing at them. So maybe that's something that the Padres are going to work on this offseason and break down with him. But I think this is a high OBP guy in his prime and a guy who could hit maybe 260, 265, 15, 20 home runs, swipe 20 to 25 bags. In terms of what he offers you defensively, again, I talked about the athleticism being elite. I think that he's a good enough athlete to stick in center field, and I think the glove plays in there, but the arm is a concern. He does have a below average arm, in my opinion, so maybe he's ticketed more for a left fielder's role, but I mean, if he sticks in center field long term, you have a guy who is a plus athlete, covers a ton of ground, knows what he's doing in the outfield, has natural defensive instincts to roam around center field and make plays for you. So you're looking at a guy who I have a 55 ceiling and a 50 realistic just because the tools are there. And he just has to put it all together. If he puts it all together, it's the ceiling of an everyday all-star who can start in center field for a perennial playoff contending team and be a top-of-the-order bat, maybe a number two hitter, or even a leadoff guy that gets on base at a high clip and is a legitimate threat to swipe some bags when he gets on. So that is Taylor Trammell. I'm gonna bank on his athleticism and his tools panning out. Some people have kind of given up on him just because of the struggles he had, but I think a guy again who's 22 years old, you'll probably see him start the season out in Double A again, make his way to El Paso at some point, and I think it's not out of the question that we'll see him in 2020 with the Padres, but 2021 is probably more realistic as a starting outfielder for them on an everyday basis. Moving on to number four on this list, a guy who I actually debated putting at number three just because of how ridiculous of a season he had, CJ Abrams, the Padres' first overall pick in a 2019 MLB draft, a 6'2", 185 left-handed hitting 19-year-old shortstop from Blessed Trinity High School in Georgia. In terms of his grades, I have a 60 ceiling and a realistic 50. So again, a guy who I am projecting to be an everyday all-star and one of the best second basemen in baseball. My impact statement for him is going to be game-changing speed with great bat-to-ball skills. I'm going to be honest, I really wasn't that high on Abrams when we drafted him. I wanted them to go the college pitching route just because of the urgency of contention that this team has. But after watching some video after they drafted him, I think this was an absolute steal for the Padres. It's kind of hard to proclaim that a team got an absolute gem with a sixth overall pick in the draft, but I think the Padres did, because I think that he's definitely a guy that, outside of Bobby Witt, Andrew Vaughn, and obviously Adley Rutschman, was a guy who should have been the number four pick in this year's draft and instead fell down to six. So in terms of what he provides at the plate, this is a guy that rarely doesn't, like, he makes a lot of consistent contact. His swinging strike rate was actually fairly high this year, but he doesn't strike out a lot. You have an 8.5% K rate to a 6.7% base on ball rate. So what that tells me is that he sometimes swings and misses, but he knows how to shorten up and put the ball in play, and there's not going to be a lot of strikes with him. And I see that in his swing too. He's a twitchy athlete with a relatively short swing to the ball. He doesn't have a ton of moving parts. He's not trying to drive the ball. He's just trying to put the ball in play, because he is a truly elite 80 grade runner with game changing speed. So the bat to ball skills being as advanced as they are is something you don't really see in a speedster type. So I really like Abrams and his ability to truly impact the game on the offensive side of the baseball. There's not a ton of power, nor do I think there will be, but I do see him potentially hitting anywhere between 10 to 15 home runs once he fully matures, just because of the fact that he is only 19 years old and he's 6'2", so you're probably going to expect him to put about 5 to 10, maybe 15 pounds of muscle on by the time he gets to the big leagues. So it's not crazy to think that a guy with his amount of contact rate can just get a hold of one and drive it over the fence, especially to his pull side, because he's left-handed and with the juice baseballs we have now. So while I wouldn't expect him to be a reliable power threat, definitely a guy that could get a hold of one, drive the ball out of the park every once in a while. In terms of where he stands defensively, this has been a major concern with Abrams. Not because the fact that he can't play shortstop, because I think the natural actions and the footwork and the hands are that of a quality big league defender. But obviously the Padres are already have a star shortstop locked up for at least the next 6 years, but probably for the rest of his career. So a move to either second base or center field is likely. I think with how good of an athlete he is, you're looking at a guy who will probably end up making the move to center field sooner rather than later. But I think he would excel, obviously, at second base. And while center field might be something new to him, I'm always going to bank on athletes and on talent to figure it out. So I think that this is a guy who is a legitimate, really good prospect for the Padres. In terms of his game-changing speed that I briefly touched on earlier, he stole 15 bases in the Arizona League in like 30 games. So to think that over the course of a full season, him at least stealing 30-plus bags is extremely realistic, potentially more. I mean, you're talking literally Billy Hamilton, D. Gordon-type speed from the left side of the box with C.J. Abrams. So when he gets on base, he is a true threat to swipe a bag every single time, which is obviously puts a ton of pressure on the pitcher and on the defense. And he's not one of your prototypical speedsters that just hits the ball and then is just not actually good at hitting. He just is really fast. So I think the tools are there. I think the Padres believe in him, as was evident by their willingness to trade away Xavier Edwards, who is probably closer to being big league ready than Abrams will. I think we don't see him to at least the earliest 2022, probably where he'll probably debut with the team as their opening day, either second baseman or center fielder in 2023. But the talent, the tools are all there for him to be one of the best at his position once he reaches the big leagues. Number five, might be kind of a big of a surprise to some people, is Luis Camposano, catcher, 5'10", 215 pounds, 21 years old, was the Padres' second round draft pick in, I believe, 2017. I could be wrong. I don't know if they got Camposano the same year as Gore or if he was a 2018 pick, but a guy who kind of was an interesting prospect going into this season, had a pretty solid year last year with the Tin Caps in the Midwest League, but absolutely exploded in 2019. Over at FriarFaithfulChronicle.com, I named him the Padres Player of the Year. I named him the California League Player of the Year. Several other publications named him the California League Player of the Year, and he was MILB.com's California co-MVP of the year. So my impact statement for him is a legit two-way catching prospect with an advanced recognition of the strike zone. I have a ceiling of a 60 and a realistic of a 50 for Camposano. I think the biggest thing that I saw with him this season was he basically improved in every facet of the game offensively. His OPS went up by 195 points, and his WRC plus improved by 42 from his 2018 campaign. And he actually had a fairly solid season at the dish in 2018. So for him to make those kind of jumps really stood out to me. Another thing, just by looking at his stat line and not even watching him play, for a catcher to have 11.7 strikeout rate and a 10.7 walk rate, and only an 11.4 swinging strike rate, you're looking at a guy who possesses incredible bat-to-ball skills, an incredible recognition of the zone, very rare swing and miss rate, and he's a catcher. So he's already an above-average bat for his age. And then in terms of the power, we did see some of the power come this year. He hit 15 home runs and slugged 507. I don't know how much of that is a product of playing in the California League, which is a typical hitter-friendly league. But, you know, I don't expect him to be a 25 home run guy every single year. There is some 60 grade power, mostly in due to the fact that this guy has absolute tree trunks for legs. He is massive. He probably squats like 450 pounds, no problem. So I would expect him to tap into some of that raw power, but his offensive game is more oriented to just putting the ball in play, driving the ball into the gaps, and walking at a high rate. In terms of his defense, I think he is a very quality defensive catcher. He has an above-average arm, and he calls a strong game. But it's just some tiny things like footwork and transfer and potential slight improvements in pitch framing that are keeping him back from being a truly elite defender. But I do think that he's going to be perfectly fine and could hold his own at the next level from a defensive standpoint, which is why I have him as one of the best catching prospects in all of baseball, right behind Joey Bart. I think with Camposano, you're looking at him probably coming up in 2021. I know the Padres as an organization are very, very high on him. So perhaps their willingness to move on from Austin Hedges and or Francisco Mejia and reluctance to trade Camposano away means that they have ticketed him to be their franchise catcher. But we'll have to see. I think this next year in Amarillo is definitely the big test. If he comes into Amarillo and has another quality offensive season, you're looking at a guy who is a legit top 50 prospect in all of baseball, could be in the conversation to be the number one catching prospect in all of baseball, and just adds to an incredibly deep farm system at the catching position. So I love Camposano. There's no doubt in my mind that if he hits in Double A, you're looking at he's probably number two or number three on this list, because for a catcher to have that kind of offensive game is incredibly impressive. At number six, previously it was Xavier Edwards. Now we're going to look at number six. Obviously, Edwards was traded. It's Adrian Morejon, the enigma that is Adrian Morejon. 6 feet tall, 175-pound left-handed pitcher, 20 years old. I have a ceiling of 60 and a realistic of 45. So that should tell you right there from the beginning what you need to know about Adrian Morejon. Obviously, we'll see him with the big league club unless he's traded in 2020. Made his big league debut last year. Had a brief stint in the big leagues. But When it comes to Morejon, the fastball is 93 to 95. It'll get up to 97 to 98 with really good life. He throws two different changeups. One is a knuckle, one is a circle, but both of them grade out as above average offerings from scouts. And I think what has really made him get to that next level and what will ultimately take him to that next level is his curveball. It is a very good pitch. I think it is a it can be a legitimate swing and miss offering. So obviously a true four picks Mitch. A true four-pitch mix, sorry, I can't talk, really does give him a true starter profile. But the biggest thing, the only thing holding him back is the injury concerns. He's been hurt his entire career. He's never thrown more than 65 innings in a season. You know, last year we had that brief delay where he was hurt. He got hurt to end the season in San Diego. They used him only in a relief role in the minor leagues and with the Padres. Because of the injury concerns. So this is a guy that you need to, you know, there's a lot of question marks around him because the fact that if he stays healthy, it's a guy who is a top of the rotation type of arm, a guy who could be a number two and could just give this team one of the best rotations in baseball in like 2023. Still incredibly young, only a couple days older than Mackenzie Gore, but this is a guy with legitimate injury concerns. I know the organization wants to view him as a starter still. I would probably bank on him being traded at some point. But if you had to put a gun to my head right now, and I had to ask, and you asked me if I thought that the 60 grade ceiling or the 45 grade realistic, which one is more likely to come true, I'm probably going to lean towards the realistic just because of the fact that, you know, there's a ton of injury concerns, and those injury concerns and the lack of a durable frame will likely lead to a bullpen role, which is what a 45 grade pitcher is. So we'll see with Adrian Morejon. I'm pulling for him, obviously. He's super talented, but I think that in terms of him, you kind of have to look the other way and just hope that he can stay healthy. And I ultimately think the Padres will trade him. So number seven on this list now without Edwards is Michel Baez, 6'8", 220-pound right-hander, 23 years old out of Cuba. He made his big league debut just like Morejon last season. Baez, I have a ceiling of 50, and I have a realistic of 50 just because I think he's a very, very safe prospect. You know, for a guy that big, he actually does repeat his delivery well in short spurts. When you see him go long in innings, like 5-6 innings in a game, and he starts to get tired, there are some inconsistencies in the delivery, but ultimately I think that he throws enough strikes and he does repeat his delivery well enough because he's athletic enough at that height to continue to be a starter. Just like Morejon, he's dealt with some injury concerns too because, again, 6'8" guys consistently throwing a baseball 95-plus miles per hour, there's going to be some injury concerns. So last season, they only used him in both AA and at the big league level as a reliever, but he actually saw a ton of success in that role. I think that the organization, just like Morejon, continues to view him as a potential starter, but you really can't ignore the fact that if you move him to a bullpen, this is a guy with a fastball that regularly sits 90 miles per hour, with a wipeout slider, a 60 grade offering slider that is a true swing and miss pitch, and a changeup that is, some people say, is better than the slider. So you have two pitches that are already above average with a high 90s fastball. That is elite stuff out of the bullpen. That's a guy that could be one of the top back-end relievers in baseball one day. But the upside is that if you can translate that stuff and put it into a starter role, you're looking at a guy who's a number three and a very good number three. So I think with Baez, he's a very safe guy because if you keep him in the bullpen, he's probably not going to get injured. And if you keep him in the rotation, the stuff plays for him to be really good. So I like Michel Baez a lot. If I had to pick one to trade between Michel Baez and Adrian Morejon, I would probably trade Morejon and hold on to Baez just because I think he's a safer prospect than Morejon. So let's move on. Slotting in at number eight on this list is the recently acquired Jake Cronenworth from the Tampa Bay Rays. Some people are probably going to be like, why the hell are you putting Jake Cronenworth so high on this list? He's number 17 on MLB Pipeline's list, I believe, and he's number 8 on yours. The reason is Cronenworth was a guy who legitimately was a two-way star at Michigan. His junior year, he broke the school record for saves, and he hit like 325 and was like the team's top offensive performer. And we finally saw those bat-to-ball skills come to life in AAA last year. His power numbers are never going to be crazy, and they're never. And I don't. I mean, he's a contact-oriented prospect, but the bat-to-ball skills are there. He gets on base at a high clip. There's not a lot of swing and miss. He controls his bat well from the left side. He's a guy that I think could legitimately be a strong 7 or 8 hitter on any given rotate, any given lineup, a playoff caliber lineup. And the reason why I have him slotted up here, one, defensively, he's electric. It is one of the best defensive prospects in this entire farm system, and that includes guys like Gabriel Arias, Luis Campusano, CJ Abrams, all the top defenders. He's right up there with them. One of the better defenders in all of minor league baseball, in fact. And then you take that arm that he has and you put it on the mound. Like I mentioned earlier, he's a guy that broke the school saves record at Michigan. The Rays decided to let him be the opener last year for Durham at AAA, and he was, I mean, he wasn't crazy electric. The strikeout numbers were really good, but the walk rate was super high. So there's a guy that you have to work on on some control. A lot of that could be the fact that he really didn't pitch up until then. So maybe it was kind of like, hey, he was a little bit rusty, but the fastball is 95, 96 with legit life, and it's a really good curveball. So that's the two-pitch mix you kind of dream of for a back-end relief pitcher, is a hard fastball and a solid breaking ball, which Cronenworth does have. So I really like this guy. A lot of my colleagues at Prospects Live, we're actually talking about this when this trade happened, and one guy in particular, Alex Juicy Jensen, Juicy underscore Jensen on Twitter. Definitely follow him if you're into prospects. But he was super high on Cronenworth. I didn't really know much about him. I watched some video. I wrote up a scouting report on him for FriarFaithfulChronicle.com, so make sure you check that out too. But and he talked me into putting Cronenworth on this list because the tools are there. The hit tool is real. It's a real 55 grade hit tool. The glove is legit a 60 to 65 glove, and he offers legit two-way value at the next level. So I think he definitely cracks the Padres roster as the 26th man, just because it's a kind of a creative way to carry an extra arm. But yeah, I think he's definitely going to be a bat over an arm any day of the week, but the upside for him to be a true two-way prospect at the big league level is why I have him this high on the list. Number 9, Owen Miller. There's not much to say about Owen Miller. I will say this, he absolutely freaking rakes. The dude hits at every level he's played at. Hit in high school, hit in college, hit in his professional debut, made his way all the way to double A in his draft year. So super impressive. Had a really good offensive season last year with the Sod Poodles. This is a guy who's not really good. He's not great at one specific thing, but he's good at everything. It's a strong hit tool. There's some power there. He's an average runner. It's a good glove. It's a solid arm. He's played shortstop his entire life. So for his grades, I have a 50 ceiling and a 50 realistic. For Owen Miller, I think that this is a guy who is your dream utility player that can play multiple positions. Obviously, he can play short. He's played second. He could probably play third. With some seasoning, you could probably play him in a corner outfield spot as well. So this is a Ben Zobrist type utility player that is very valuable nowadays because he could spell guys, give guys days off. Someone goes down, you plug Owen Miller into the lineup. So I think that he'll get his chance with the Padres probably at some point in 2020. I think that he could be the stopgap guy for a second base prospect like CJ Abrams or whoever the Padres decide to bring in to be their long-term second baseman. But I truly do like Owen Miller. I think he's probably the safest prospect on this entire system from an offensive side. Number 10, some people will probably be surprised to hear this, but Gabriel Arias is my number 10 overall prospect for this system. 6'1", 200 pounds, 19 years old. When he signed in that 2016-2017 international class for $2 million, he was one of the top prospects in that class. Made his full season debut in 2017 at just 17 years old. you know, when he first got to the Midwest League, he was pretty solid. 2018 was absolutely horrible for him. He was terrible at the plate. Numbers were down in every aspect. Barely slugged or barely had an OPS above 700. Just looked absolutely lost. So some people gave up on him just from that. But he comes back in the California League and puts up a strong, strong season. At the plate offensively, you know, 302, 339, 463 slash line, 16 dingers. The one thing with Arias that I will say is I did see a slight mechanical adjustment in his swing. The swing got shorter, which allowed him to barrel the baseball up more consistently, and that's why you saw an increase in the power numbers. I think there's always going to be some swing and miss to his game. We did see an improvement this year, but a 25% strikeout rate is something that is obviously concerning. I think just the way he plays and his plate discipline isn't really up to par, nor do I think it ever will be. So this is a guy that you're going to have to deal with the swing and miss. But nowadays, I mean, we've kind of built in the swing and miss to the big league game. You know, we saw Tatis last year had a super high swing and miss as well, but that's a guy that we're still going to roll out there every single day because he's so valuable when he does hit the ball. So I think Arias is kind of in that same category. I'm not saying he's going to be a Fernando Tatis Jr. offensively, but definitely a guy who's always going to have a high swing and miss rate, but can still produce for you offensively because of just how talented of a prospect he is. Defensively, I love Jake Cronenworth defensively, but I don't think that there's anybody in this entire system that even compares to how good this guy is with the glove. I mean, he is an absolutely elite defender. It is the best glove I've ever seen from a prospect come through the system, and that does say a lot because the Padres have had some fairly good defensive shortstops come through and some fairly good defensive prospects in general. But he is a much better defensive shortstop than anybody I've ever seen. That includes Tatis. The hands are awesome. The footwork is great. He has an absolute rocket for an arm that can play at shortstop or third base. He's athletic enough. He has the build for your modern-day shortstop. This is a guy who is an everyday defender at short, which I think if the bat drags, that alone could carry him to a big league position. We see guys like Freddie Galvis, Jose Peraza, Nick Ahmed. Those guys are glove first defenders that play every single day for their respective teams because of what they do with the glove, and everything else is just a premium with the bat. So a guy who truly is one of the best defensive players in all of minor league baseball. Again, just like I mentioned with Campusano, I think this is a guy who, if he hits at AA, is going to skyrocket on people's lists. He is Rule 5 eligible next December, so the Padres will have to add him to their 40-man roster. And I also don't think that he's probably a candidate to play second base. I mean, you could play him at second base, but that's just kind of a waste of one of the more unique skill sets in baseball. But if he is a candidate to be their second baseman of the future, I think that's not a bad thing at all. But the true test will be for him to hit at AA and show us that this year was not a fluke and that he can carry this kind of offensive production throughout the whole season. So if he does do well at AA, I have an ETA of 2021. I think we could definitely see him at some point in 2021. Should the bat keep on improving, which I think it will because talent always plays out. But if he keeps on hitting, it's one of the best overall shortstop prospects in baseball because of how good he is with the glove. So that's my top 10. I'll round it out to you real quick. We have at number 1, Mackenzie Gore. Number 2, Luis Patino. Taylor Trammell comes in at number 3. CJ Abrams at number 4. Luis Camposano at number 5. Adrian Morahone at number 6. Michelle Baez at number 7. Jake Cronenworth at number 8. Owen Miller at number 9, and Gabriel Arias at number 10. So we'll go kind of 11 to 20 and then 21 to 30. I'm going to name off, I'll give you the order of the list, but I'm only going to actually touch on some guys. So at number 11, we have Ryan Weathers, who is a pitcher. Number 12, Hudson Potts, third baseman. Number 13, Joey Cantillo, also a pitcher. Hudson Head at number 14 is an outfielder. Jason Rosario, 15, is an outfielder. Edward Olivares, 16, also an outfielder. Tucapita Marcano, middle infielder, at number 17. Ronald Bolaños, who's a pitcher, at number 18. Reginald Preciado at shortstop. And Ismael Mania, are my 19 and 20. Mania is an outfielder. So, first guy I want to talk about on this list is Joey Cantillo, 6'4", 220-pound left-handed pitcher out of Hawaii, drafted in the 16th round by the Padres in 2017, and forgoed a commitment to the University of Kentucky for $302,500. I have a 50-grade ceiling with a 45-grade realistic. Cantillo was a guy that we saw take major, major jumps this season. He was dominant in both the Midwest League and the California League this year. Probably should have been Midwest League Pitcher of the Year, even though he didn't pitch there all season. The fastball was 88 to 90 for the majority of the season. I will say I saw some outings midway through the year in April and May where he was 92 to 94. I don't know how accurate that is. I don't know how accurate minor league radar guns at the low A and high A levels are, but I mean, the frame is there, 6'4", 220, super projectable guy that I think could legitimately, if his fastball gets to 92 to 94 miles per hour and pairs with a legitimate changeup that looks the exact same as his fastball but just drops off, and a true 12 to 6 breaking ball that he throws for strikes, I think this is a guy with a true starter profile, a three-pitch mix, who could be a quality number four pitcher for you at the back end of your bullpen or at the back end of your rotation. He's only 20 years old. He'll probably spend all of next season in high A, but the velocity is key because nowadays it's really hard to get outs when your fastball is 88 to 90 miles per hour. There's not much projectability or ceiling for you. You're kind of stuck there as a back end number five, as we see with Joey Lucchese. He's not going to throw more than 91, 92 miles per hour on a given day, but there's still a role for him. So I think that, I think that if the fastball velocity can get up to 92 to 94 miles per hour, you're looking at a guy with a relatively safe ceiling of a back end starter with potential to for him to move up if the off speed stuff, takes that next step. But I love Joey Cantillo. Another guy I love is Hudson Head, 6'1", 180 pounds, 18-year-old outfielder from Winston Churchill High School. The Padres drafted Head in the third round of this past draft and made him the highest paid third round pick in the history of the Major League Baseball draft. They signed him for $3 million to forgo his commitment to Oklahoma. I saw a lot of publications put Head, kind of in the 20-ish range. I think he's like number 19 on Pipeline and somewhere around there on Fangraphs. But Jason Panini, formerly of Prospects Live, now he's a scout for the Minnesota Twins, saw Head last year in the Arizona Rookie League and had great things to say about him. I think that this is kind of an aggressive ranking given the fact that, third-round pick, 18-year-old kid. But I'm also kind of comfortable with him being here. I have a 55-grade ceiling and a 45-grade realistic. The big thing with Hudson Head is there is real potential for him to be a 5-tool athlete. At the plate, left side, left prospect, the hit tool is really good. There is a slight, there's a slight arm bar in his swing that you can clearly see from video. But, the bat speed and his ability to just put the barrel to the baseball kind of makes me feel that that isn't going to be a problem as he matures. He's not a super big guy, like I said, 6'1", 180, and most of the power that he generates comes from ridiculous bat speed, which is obviously good when guys can, when guys don't have to put a ton of effort into driving the ball and generating power and their hands do it naturally. That's a really good thing to have in a prospect. So for him to do that at 18 years old it makes me feel good about the fact that I could slap a 50 grade hit tool on that I could put a 50 grade tool on his hit and his power. I'm sorry, I can't talk. I think at one day he's probably in his prime like a 260 hitter, 265 hitter, which is with 20 plus home runs every season. In terms of his athleticism and the glove and the arm, it's an above average arm, I would say. I think he could definitely stick in center field, so I'm going to throw an above average glove on him as well. And in terms of the run tool, I think he's a very good athlete and has a plus run tool as well. So again, a guy with strong tools across the board. I think that if the Padres want to get crazy and move him around because they don't think he's a fit in center field, it's a really good defender in right field with a really strong arm, which is obviously going to play. I've been saying this since he got drafted, that if he had gone to Oklahoma, this guy would have been a first round pick when his draft year was, or when he was draft eligible. So for the Padres to nab him in the third round for $3 million is kind of a steal, in my opinion, if he does reach his ceiling. So we'll see, but I love Hudson Head. 15 on this list, Jason Rosario, a guy that I think people don't talk about enough. 6'1", 190 pounds, 20-year-old, left outfielder. This guy has a ridiculous recognition of the strike zone. He strikes out at a 21.7% clip, which is kind of high, but also walks at a 16% rate. He had a 371 OBP this year, which was almost 70 points higher than his on-base percentage. So I think that that alone is incredibly impressive for a 20-year-old. I have a 55 grade ceiling and a realistic of 45. I think that the hit tool still has to come. I think that he does put he makes enough contact to be a quality offensive player, because the swing and strike rate is below 10%. But I don't think we're ever going to see much power. I think this is a guy who could probably hit 5 to 7 home runs when he's fully matured. He only hit 3 this past year and only slugged 313 with an ISO below 100. So I think he's definitely a contact over power type of hitter. More of a slap guy, you could say. He's a good runner. Probably a 60 grade run tool on him. He's an incredible athlete. He does the whole backflip thing after games or before games. I think he could definitely stick in center field. But the arm is weak. So while I think he's athletic enough to play center field, probably looking at a guy who moves over to left field and is a quality defender over there. Just like Arias and Camposano, I have to see more from him in Double-A next season. But Rosario is definitely an intriguing prospect that owns a strong recognition of the strike zone and gets on base at a ridiculous clip with a ridiculous walk rate. The final guy I want to touch on, the final two guys I'll briefly highlight on this list are 19 and 20. Reginald Preciado and Ismael Mania, both 16 years old. Actually, I think Mania just turned 17. Yeah, he turned 17 at the very end of November. So Mania 17, Preciado 16. Both J2 signings this past season. I have 55 grade ceilings and 45 grade realistics on both of them, with an ETA of 2024 for both of them. Preciado, 6'4", 185, is a twitchy shortstop that is a switch hitter. I think he swings better from the left side, but we haven't seen many looks of him from the right side just because of there's more right-handed pitchers than lefties, obviously. I think that it's a really good swing. Quick bat, short to the bat, short to the baseball. There is some more power to come as he fills up this 6'4", 185-pound frame, which is obviously very impressive for a 16-year-old kid. Defensively, I think that, I think that he could stick at short and be an average defender, but as a guy you probably move over to third base given his size and athleticism isn't really there with what you want in a shortstop. He's a long ways to weigh and is a very high-risk prospect, given the fact that he's 16 years old, but the potential is clearly there. I personally like Mania more. I went with Preciado ahead of him because I truly believe that I'm going to go with the shortstop up the middle type of prospect if Preciado stays there, over a guy like Mania who could play center field, but it's very possible he moves over to a corner role. He's a left outfielder with above average bat speed and a quality hit tool. Some scouts have said that it's a young comparison to Gregory Polanco, 6 foot, 385 pounds. Definitely going to see this kid at least put on 20 pounds of muscle at the very minimum. So twitchy athlete, 70 grade speed, elite athlete, hits the ball hard from the left side on a consistent basis, going to swipe 20 bags, no problem. I think, as I mentioned earlier, he could stick in center field. It just kind of comes down to what the Padres want to do with him. I personally think the instincts and the jumps and the natural routes are good enough for him to play in center field, but You know, we'll have to see what the Padres view as a better organizational role for Mania. But again, I think this is a top of the order bat, number two or number three, in a lineup, consistent hard contact and a quality defender with a true 70 grade run speed is definitely going to be valuable. So let's move on now here. I kind of want to wrap this up. 21 through 30. I'll talk about the guys I have here. And maybe highlight one or two guys. Estuary Ruiz, 21. Tirso Ornelas, outfielder, 22. Reggie Lawson, pitcher, 23. Blake Hunt, catcher, 24. Mason Thompson, right-handed pitcher, at 25. Joshua Mears, number 26, outfielder. Anderson Espinosa, 27, pitcher. Pedro Avila, 28, pitcher. Omar Cruz, 29, and Efrain Contreras at 30. I think the only guy that actually warrants talking about on this list extensively is Reggie Lawson, 6'4", 205 pounds, 22 years old, was a competitive balance pick in 2016 as a high schooler out of Florida. You know, Lawson's a guy that has kind of been He's been plagued with injuries, and I think that that is ultimately what's going to be the deciding factor between him making it to the big leagues or not. But he looked really good in the Arizona Fall League, and I'm not going to ignore that. The stuff has kind of always been there. It's a 60-grade fastball that's mid to high 90s, a very strong curveball that he can flip for strikes whenever he wants to, and the changeup is probably a 50-grade pitch. Showed some potential, but he needs to refine it some more. I think with Lawson, I have a 50 grade ceiling and a 40 grade realistic. Gun to my head, you have to make me pick which one I think he's more likely to reach. I'd probably say somewhere in 45. I think it's a guy who could be a quality six inning relief pitcher for you, with ultimate back end starter upside. We'll probably see him at Double A to start the year, but it's not crazy to think that he could come up to Petco Park at some point this season. So he's probably the guy that's really interesting to me. Maybe a guy that I could see the Padres packaging as a maybe high upside pick in a trade. But we'll have to see with him. Again, if he's healthy, he's pretty solid. So I like Reggie Lawson a lot. Outside of that, I mean, Josh Mears is a freak of an athlete. Super big guy. Strong as hell. Hits a lot of home runs. But definitely a player dev guy. He is super raw from a baseball standpoint, so the Padres are going to have to do a lot to get him to where they want him to be and be a true baseball player. Anderson Espinosa on this list just because of the fact that I think that if he's still only 21 years old, we're probably not going to see him very much this season, but he's going to come back from that second Tommy John at 22 years old, and with how highly touted of a prospect he was when we first acquired him. If he hits that ceiling, this is a middle of the rotation arm right away. Now, do I think he's going to be? No. I have a 55 grade ceiling on him and a realistic of 35. So I think it's boom or bust with him. But definitely, there's still some upside there. And then, I mean, that's pretty much it, man. Blake Hunt is whatever. You know, Tirso Ornelas is a guy that I'm really low on. I don't think that he's going to be. I think some people overhype him so much, and I'm not the only person in the industry that believes that Tirso Ornelas is just a lost cause, so I'm not even going to go into him. So yeah, that's my list. That's my top 30 prospects list over at Prospects Live. Again, if you like this kind of stuff, we're going to have some more podcasts coming out now that I have more time, talking about the Padres, some moves they should make, a lot of prospect stuff here in the offseason, some scouting reports, some guys I'm looking at, some younger guys you should get to know yourself. So make sure you subscribe to the pod here on Apple Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at the FF Chronicle. That's my new website. We're grinding. We put out daily content. It's good stuff. You don't want to miss it. But thank you for watching, as always, and have a good one, ladies and gentlemen.